Psalm 11. If you find your place in Psalm 11, I'd like to invite you to stand with me in honor and reverence of God's word. Psalm 11. If you follow with me, I'll read all seven verses and then we'll try to pull a few things out of here this evening. Psalm 11. Begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says this: "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." Amen. Thank God for the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, God, for your holy word. We thank you, God, for inspiring it, for preserving it for us in our language. And Lord, as many, like Brother Smith and many around the world are trying to disseminate your word in different languages, I pray, God, that you would bless them and help them, that your word would spread and that many, many more would be able to read it, hear it, and be born again. And we just pray that you'd help us this evening as we look at your word. May your will be accomplished, and we will praise you and thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. So there are some verses here that we probably have heard and read and are very familiar with, especially verse number 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I think the answer is the very following verse. We have to depend on the Lord. The Lord is in his holy temple. And we talk about that a lot. God is still on the throne. God is still in control. That's what the righteous can do, is to look to God and just be faithful. But I've got four or five things here that I like to look at this evening, and I won't be very long. But first of all, I'd like to see in verse number 1, the believer's assurance. The believer's assurance. The writer says, "In the Lord put I my trust." And that's a statement, you know, in itself. That's a thought that is, it seems so simple. Those seven words, "In the Lord put I my trust." But it's a very large statement. It's a very deep statement, because if we put our trust in God, then even if the foundations are destroyed, then we still have a firm foundation to stand on. And the foundations being destroyed, that's not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ or God's will or God's plan. I believe that's talking about the things around us. And because God will always stand, and his truth will always be, and his truth will always stand. But what can we do when everything is falling around us? I mean, you know, there's lots of tragedies, personal tragedies that are close to home, things around the globe going on, earthquakes and fires and flooding. It just seems like one thing after another. And of course, God told us in his word that those things are going to increase. We can expect to see those things. And so we shouldn't be surprised, although there's the human element. People are dying, and people are, you know, many who die are going to hell. So we hate to see loss of life in any kind. You know, just recently, I believe it was last week, you know, in one afternoon over around Warrenton on I-70, during some of that construction, three people went into eternity within a few hours, I think, of one another. And you just don't know. It can happen that quickly. And but to put our trust in the Lord, then he says, "How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" We don't need to fear. We don't need to worry. And even though worry and concern is part of our life, we can put our trust in God. And he said, "Be careful for nothing." We can trust him. He can take care of it. "And casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." If we could learn to do that on a daily basis, on a continuing basis, on a consistent basis, Lord, I just put it in your hands. Lord, I lay it at your feet. God, you have to take care of this, and I trust you to do so. So our assurance is that God is still on the throne. And David also wrote in Psalm 121, verse 1, we don't have to turn there, but he says, and I taught on this a while back, he said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. We know where our help is. We know where our strength comes from. And we can trust in the Lord, and that will get us through the times when it seems like everything's falling apart around us. Then in verse number 2, we see the believer's adversaries, not only our assurance, but our adversaries. Verse 2 says, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Then it talks about the foundation. So we have wickedness around us. By the way, the first time the word wicked is used, I believe, is about Sodom and Gomorrah, if I remember that right. The wicked bend their bow. I mean, they just are looking for an opportunity to harm us and to trip us up. And the Bible again tells us that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse as we go along. So, you know, it sickens us, the things that go on in our world. But it really shouldn't surprise us, because God said it's going to happen. Now, that doesn't give us an excuse to stand by and do nothing. Of course, we need to be vocal and we need to be present and do what we can. But we do know that those things are going to come. Over in Psalm 10, the Bible says this in the previous psalm. Verse number 1 says, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. And I believe the Bible tells us in other places that they'll be trapped in their own, they'll fall in their own traps. God is going to make that happen. God will take vengeance for us. And God said, vengeance is mine. And I preached about that one time in one of the churches that I was pastoring in Montana. There were some things going on in the church, and someone was angry, and there was a gentleman that had a situation that went on with a member of his family, and someone had harmed them in some way. And I'm going to go take care of them if the law doesn't. And he was one of the men in my church. And I said, you know, God said vengeance is his. And if you take vengeance out on this person, then you take that away from God. And God can do a lot better job than you. And so, you know, again, I don't wish harm on anyone, but the wicked need to be reproved. The wicked need to be judged for their wickedness and for their sin. And God is a lot better at doling that out than I am. And so I have to let him have vengeance. And so I believe that's why God tells us, be angry and sin not, in part, because if we get angry, we get vengeful, then we take that away from God. We take what's his away from him. And so we do have adversaries. We do have those that are against us. And chapter 10, the first few verses talk about that. But God will return that upon them. I really believe that. So we see the believer's assurance. We see the believer's adversaries. Then we see in verse 3 the believer's assault. It gets to a point where things are just kind of crumbling underneath of us because of the wickedness that's going on around us. But what do we do about it? Well, we have an advocate. The following verses, the believer's advocate, verse 4 through 6, the Lord is in his holy temple. Amen. You know, and I talked about it on Sunday, the Lord is, God is for us. He is for his children. Amen. And he sees everything that's going on. He sees the trouble that we're having. When we're standing in truth and righteousness and we are persecuted for it or whatever, taken advantage of because of it. You know, there are people that will take advantage of you, because there are people that take advantage of me sometimes just because I try to be humble and I try to be meek and I try not to be, you know, I try to be quiet and not, you know, in certain instances, and people will take advantage of that. And they see that as being weak. And so then they take advantage of that, and our enemies will do that. But we do have an advocate that will stand up for us and fight for us, and that's our Lord. And Psalm 10 We were looking over there in verse number 12. It says, "Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, for forget not the humble." God won't forget when we did right, when we stood for truth, we were just meek and mild like he was when he was on this earth. God sees it and he will advocate for us. But then in verse number 7, we see the believer's accountability. "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." God is watching us. God is paying attention. He sees the wrong that's done against us, but he also is watching for us to stand in truth and righteousness. So we have an accountability. We do have an advocate. We do have a God that loves us and takes care of us, but he does expect us to live righteously. "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." So we do have an accountability. And so as we live in this world and we have wickedness all around us, we have adversaries and enemies all around us, we do know that we have a God that sees and knows, and he will make it right. One of these days, he's going to make all things new. He'll make all things right. But in the meantime, we need to be righteous. We need to be true. We need to be holy. The Lord God said, you know, "Be ye holy, as I, the Lord your God, am holy." And of course, that doesn't mean perfect. That means separate from sin and true to God. So as long as we continue to do that, even if the adversaries come against us, one day God will make it all right. He'll make it all new. And we'll be able to look back and say, you know, it was worth it all. It was worth it all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your ministry. And just pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Use these few words, and especially your word, God, to make a difference in our lives. Now, Lord, as we separate into our groups, I pray, God, that you give us a good time of fellowship, that we would just share with one another and come together in one heart and one mind and pray over these requests, that God, that you would do your will and God fulfill what your plan is in each of these situations. And God, again, it's been good to be in your house tonight with your people. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.